Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks.
I am so excited to share today's guest with you. She is Erica Rothenberger, and she embraces rocks with audacity, authenticity, and resilience. She's someone that I believe wholeheartedly embraces discipline, diligence, and grit. And I know that you're going to love her. I believe that you'll find purpose and so many great takeaways in this call. So let's dive right into the interview with Erica Rothenberger.
All right. I am so excited about Season 5's guest today because I met this powerhouse at an event that you got to meet Amberly Lago, and this is where Erica and I met. And oh my gosh, this woman, I just absolutely fell in love with her, and I can't wait for you to hear her story today. Erica Rothenberger, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rock Mover Sister.
Oh my goodness, I'm so honored to be on the Rock Movers. This is just absolutely amazing. And the feeling is 100% mutual. From the minute I met you, I was like, that woman has a magic about her that I need to be her friend.
Oh, thank you. I feel the same way. It was a love fest and still is. And I love following you on social media. So first point of reference here in this podcast, go to the notes, the show notes, pause this, go to the show notes and find her on social media because you need more Erica in your life. I don't care who you are, where you're at in life, you need more Erica in your life. This woman is just such a light in the darkness on all things and is absolutely moving rocks every day. If you follow her, you will feel it, you'll see it and experience it. But she is a living example of how to find purpose and resiliency in the rock moving process. And that's where I'd like to start today is we all know that life happens. But how do you take all of that, find the courage to get up, move again, and keep moving those rocks and build those resiliency muscles, because you do it so gracefully. And as your podcast, you know, is, what is it? Grit, grace, and
glitz.
Glitz. I couldn't think of the last G. You do it with such grit and grace for sure. And obviously you bring the glitz, but how do you do it? Because I know listeners are listening to this going like, I don't know. I can't do what Erica does. And you know you can.
Yeah. And I just want to say, you know, to everyone listening right now, yes, you can. Right. And that's really where it starts. It starts with your own mindset and what's between, you know, your two ears, you know, what story are you telling yourself? Because if you tell yourself you can't do it, you're absolutely right. You won't be able to do it. If you tell yourself you can do it, you not only can do it, but you will do it. Right. Yeah. And then you bring it one step further is I know that I've been a huge fan of writing things down, right? Because when you write it, you become that much more likely to make it happen. And then if you write it and then share it with someone else, the statistics go up astronomically. And don't quote me on the exact percent, but I want to say about 78% is when you actually write it and you tell someone else you're committed to it. So say your goal right now is to run a marathon in 2025, right?
Yeah.
Write it down. I will run the Chicago Marathon in, you know, October of 2025. Write that down 20 times and then declare it and tell someone else. Put stickies up. You know, I have stickies up all around my office. And
I can see them.
They're not wallpaper, but they're reminding myself every day of the things that I need to be doing. And I truly don't believe that any of us are just like Maybelline or just born with it. I really believe it's a muscle that we need to flex, that we need to move, that we need to be willing to really work on. Right? Like none of us would go to the gym for one day and expect to have, you know, a six pack of abs, right? It just isn't going to happen. So you know, I really want to remind everyone listening and that you need the confidence within yourself, because if you don't do that inner work, none of the other things will come to fruition. And I also want to give everyone the grace who's listening is remind you there's no perfect formula. There's no equation. There's no recipe that you're going to get in any cookbook or, you know, ship from Amazon Prime that's going to show up at your house in a perfect little box.
No, dang it. I love getting Amazon Prime when it like comes in and changes my life. I want to get that. No.
But what I will remind you is that you have the ability to be able to do it, but you're going to have those setback days. You're going to have those setback weeks. You're going to have those setback months. And what you have to remind yourself that those are all moments that are going to get you closer. As hard as it is when you're in the dark to feel that way, you have to remind yourself that those are the lily pads that are going to get you to the other side of the pond.
I love that. Yeah, it's not about just the beginning and the end. It's about like all the steps in between too.
Right. Right. And it's a really, you know, and I talk a lot about this is that, you know, I think so much right now we're hearing about, oh, be resilient and just get over it and move through it. And you're like, well, how? Where do I even start? And right. I truly am a firm believer. My keynote is on the audacity to be resilient. And it's the audacity part of it. It's doing the bold, brave, badass movements and things in your life that are going to build that muscle of resiliency. So when something hits the fan, when the things don't go right, when the contract doesn't come through, you have the resilience to move through that. And that's what I've recognized. It's really the setbacks that have built that strength of resilience.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I think that is the difference between those that allow that resistance to stop them is because they get overwhelmed by seeing the whole mountain rather than the next little lily pad or the next little thing. I know I do, right? I don't look at what is the next one step. I look at where do I want to go? And sometimes that just feels so hard and so surmountable that it's easy to give up there, but it's when you have that resilience that you look for the cans and not the can'ts, the options and the opportunities, not the obstacles.
And you use that as your light, because your light, and I'm a big fan of like, your light's going to get dim some days and other days it's going to be shining so bright and you're going to be that light for someone else. But regardless of where your setting is right now, if you're a one right now, or you're a 10 right now on, you know, the light scale, it doesn't matter. Right. The point is, hey, listen, every day I'm working on trying to get a little brighter. I'm trying to take those next steps to get there. And if you talk to anyone, a pro athlete, a singer, a sports player, like regardless, they've all had their setbacks, and some of the greatest, most astronomical outcomes that have come from those setbacks is because of those quantum leaps that are bound to happen. And I always say, when you're on the cusp of something great, it's usually the hardest time in your growth. Right? When you're about ready 1,000% to win the race, that last 100-yard dash is the hardest. When you're just about ready to deploy that new business, like it's going to be that punch trying to work against you. And to me, that's when you're on, like, it's just not stopping at that point and having that tenacity and that grit to move through that.
I love that. So I seriously feel like I'm going through that right now. So I can totally relate to this, because it does feel like, you know, all the sayings, right? The dawn, dark before the dawn.
Yes.
3 feet from gold. Yeah. You're just like inches or feet away from that next thing. And it is, that's where you have the most resistance. So
I also think, Karen, too, is sometimes it's the power in those moments when you're feeling that resistance and you're feeling that setback, is sometimes one of the most important things during that time too, is the power in the pause And when I say that, I don't mean stop doing anything or stop moving towards your goal. But I think sometimes we try to work, we try to muscle and strangle through it so much that it's not in flow. And no matter what you do, it's not going to turn out the way that you wanted. And it may feel good. I'm a firm believer in, you know, body in motion stays in motion and right. action creates, you know, but sometimes it's actually taking those 2 days away or that like time away to be like, hey, whoa, I gotta recognize.
Yeah.
And one of the most powerful things and a tool that every single person can do is really start to get laser focused on your gratitude. Because if you're not right. grateful for what you already have, you're never going to make more. I try to do this with my kids, right? I actually keep a jar on my desk, a grateful jar, like especially when times are really, really, really good, like when I landed that contract and this and that. And I put those things in there because when I'm having those really wall-kicking, like horrible days, I pull that jar out and I remind myself of those, all those things and be like, whoa, you need to pause here and read those and reflect against those and recognize all that good's coming. You've already created it. You know how to do it. Yeah. Right now, you're just in an emotional stuck space.
Right. Yeah. So for someone that's listening to this and maybe they're facing those really challenging moments, maybe it's a health crisis or a divorce or possible divorce or a job. We have a lot of people in our world that are without employment or they're, you know, looking to change because they're in a job they hate maybe. What would you say are three things that they can take away from today's conversation to really begin to build that resilience muscle and build that momentum forward. So I heard gratitude is the first.
Yeah.
What would be?
And I think starting and ending your day with that, and that can be in your head. I really, really believe that first thing in the morning, it should be pen to paper, like make it a habit, right? Write down the five things that you're just grateful for. Is absolutely. And then perhaps before you go to bed, right? Like I know even like when I get up in the morning, like I have a spot of just speaking to myself in my head before I even get out of bed of what I'm grateful for. And when I actually get the pen and paper, I actually write it down, but I actually say it. I feel it. I imagine it in my head with my eyes closed of the things I'm grateful for. And that literally can be, you know, the smallest things like a rubber ducky, or it could be, you know, a massive thing that just happened the day before.
Yeah. So I want to come back to the duck because I love the story of your duck. Like we have to come back to that, but so let's get the other two. So gratitude, making sure that you're writing it down, pen to paper, you know, using all of those memory triggers for that. And then what else?
So I think the other thing is really keeping, I think some of us, including myself, we have so many goals and a confused mind does nothing, right? So trying to stay really, okay, what are the two or three swim lanes that you are trying to progress, trying to work on, trying to next level? And what type of attention are you focusing on that every day? And again, where, you know, being able to almost measure that out of what you're doing to progress that goal. And it doesn't have to be a lot every day, but every day. So say your three things were, hey, listen, I want to get into better shape, right? Defending that time to get that 30-minute walk in, right? Defending that time to go in the Peloton for 30 minutes. Like defend that time and make sure it is on your calendar, right? Say the next thing is you're writing a book, right? And every day you're like, listen, I want to be able to write 1,000 words. And you know it takes you 90 minutes to do that. Where are you finding that 90 minutes every day? Because if I told you to sit down and find 90 hours to write a book, you would tell me I'm crazy. If I told you to take the next 90 days and write for an hour a day, most of us could say, okay, that's 4% of my day. That's pretty palatable. So again, going back and assessing what are the, I say no more than like three real significant like goals and have them in front of you. Post, get those stickies, right? They, you know, I keep posted in business, right? Grab a post and put those stickies, you know, three different places. Maybe they're on your mirror when you wake up in the morning. Maybe you have a vision board. Maybe they're in your office. Maybe they're on the, you know, the dashboard in your car, but see those goals and think about them and manifest them every day. And then one action that you're working towards those things.
I love it. Okay. Yeah.
I think that's really, really, really important to be able to do. And I also think one of the most important things is taking time to fuel your tank. So much we're giving and giving and giving and giving every day. And I don't care if that's 5 minutes or that's 50 minutes or, you know, if you have the luxury of having 5 hours, but find time for you. You cannot serve your goals. You cannot serve your family. You cannot serve your friends without investing in yourself. And for me, that's, you know, going to the gym. I get, you know, two whammies in one day. For other people, that may be taking that bubble bath. For someone else, that may be going to bed a half an hour early. Whatever that restorative energy is that you need, because at the end, you'll be the last person to give yourself your attention. And if you're not focused there and making it a habit that it feels weird when you don't do it, you will dismiss it every day. And you only, it's like a debit card. You only have so much energy and so much to give every day. And if you're depleted at the end of every day, those goals are never going to come to fruition.
Yeah, absolutely. So, at my conference that we just held, one of my closing keynote, who is my best friend, she calls them mental wealth deposits. And so you do things that add to your mental wealth bank. And so whether that's, you know, like you said, a bubble bath or working out, reading, whatever it is, because once you're overdrawn and then you get bankrupt and then things just start shutting down and breaking down. And that's when, you know, all the health disease and all the health problems can start. So I love that you just highlighted those. So the overarching thing that I heard you connect all three of those is focus. Focusing on gratitude, focusing on your goals and the movement for your goals. So three goals, three sticky notes in three places, and focus on those three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then focus on self-care and refueling your tank so that you have something to give others. And I love that. That's such a great, great way to transition to tell me about the story or tell us about the duck.
Because oh, about the duck. Yes.
Yes. I saw you post this on your social media. So this is why you need to be following her, because she has things like this all the time, just randomly, these cute little stories or golden nuggets, mic drop moments. So you have to be following her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this. So I went to a conference last week, the Energetic Women's Conference, which was right up my alley because it like just embodies everything that I love to give out to the universe. And we were talking about Jeep ducking. And I really like, I've seen people with like ducks on their Jeep dash, and I really haven't known what that is. But long story short, the essence of where this like originated from was someone actually took the first rubber ducky and put it on someone's Jeep. And long story short, this has become like kind of a phenomenon now that, you know, Jeep used to have like their, you know, their Jeep wave with each other. And now it's actually become Jeep ducking, where they leave different rubber duckies to each other to show a level of kindness.
Right.
And let's face it. I mean, how much does a rubber ducky actually cost? You know what I mean? I don't even know. I haven't bought one in a while, but let's say $1, right? And it's the simple things that we can do in our life. It doesn't take this enormous tidal wave. And what this duck really represents is we're bringing culture together, right? Anyone that's a Jeep owner, like, feels connected with each other. Anyone who leaves someone else a duck or receives a duck is like, wow, I'm spreading kindness to you. And why? And doesn't every time you see a rubber ducky, doesn't it just make you laugh? You think of Bert and Ernie, right? From the
Good Old Sesame Street. There were so many different rubber ducky kinds. Like,
yes,
had no idea.
So now I'm like on this radar. Now I've seen more rubber duckies on Jeeps in the last week than I think I've seen in the last 2 years, simply because now I'm looking for kindness. So I always say, like, what you're looking for, you'll find more of.
Right.
It almost makes me want to go out and buy a Jeep.
Right. Me
just
too.
So I can actually.
Because I want to be a part of the community.
Yes.
I want to get a duck Jeep.
Right. So what I want to remind you is, whether you're a Jeep owner, whether you like rubber duckies, doesn't matter. That's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is, how can you find the simple things in life? How can you create this culture with your own team, with your own family? Mm-hmm. I'll give you a very good example, Karen, something that we do with our family. And when I tell people this, they're first like, huh? And it started so simply, like about a year and a half ago. It was my daughter's, it was a random day. Her birthday's on August 11th, right? But it was 8:11 on the clock. And my husband randomly said, Addie, it's your birthday. And she looked at him like he was crazy, right? She's like, Dad, I asked for a bagel or something for breakfast. And long story short, for the last year and a half, every time we notice, whether it's my son's birthday, my daughter's birthday, my birthday, my husband's birthday, our anniversary, our dog's birthday is even participating now, we have about a minute birthday party. So at 8:11 in the morning or 8:11 at night, it's wherever you are, you could be brushing your teeth. You could be, you know what I mean? It could be a text message. And we say happy birthday to each other. And again, so we technically celebrate our birthday, you know, 700
every
and
day.
Something times a year instead of just once. But it's the small things. And I will tell you, no matter what mood I'm in, no matter how frustrated I am, it always just makes me laugh. Or my husband will text me happy A at 9:22 because our anniversary is on September 22nd. And again, we have found our rubber ducky in our family by doing something simple. And it made me think of that.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. I haven't seen you post about that.
I haven't posted about it. It just made me, actually, I was just going to write that down to be like, I have to do a post on that.
Yeah. I love that. That's so cool. So as people are listening to this, and obviously they're going to be picking up on your energy and just how amazing you are, one of the things that came from the conference, my experience, was walking into a room of women who I was just like, so first off, I call it triggered because that it's kind of like it trips something inside of me that these women are doing things that I admire, I respect. They challenge me to rise up, to step into bigger spaces, which is why we go to these things, right? We
want to
expand and grow and learn. And that was one of my commitments for the year, for 2024, was to lean in when things felt uncomfortable with a woman, where I felt less than or felt triggered, to lean in and to know her better and find ways that I could serve her, to find ways that I could support her and learn what it was about her that triggered me so that I could grow that in my own life. And so being at Amberlee's event, I was like walking in going, oh, trigger. And your light was like, first off, you just look stunning because you had your hat, because this is in Dallas. So she came in from Philadelphia, right?
Yes.
So from Philadelphia, and she's got this cool hat and these boots, and she's like all Texas out, looks like. And I'm like, obviously this girl has like all her ish together and just looks absolutely stunning and gorgeous. She's probably a total biatch. No, y'all. Mm-mm. No, she's nice. She's friendly. She's sweet. Absolutely adorable. I'm hiding, trying not to get in pictures. And she's like, nope, come get in the pictures with us. And I'm like, I can't even find reasons to not like you because you're so dang lovable. And so I'm like, okay, this is me leaning in, trusting this. And then I'm just like, okay, how can I serve her? How can I love her? How can I support her? Because this woman is absolutely making me feel so welcome, so loved. Like, you were part of the mastermind group. So you were part of this group that already knew each other, this like kind of inner circle. I knew Amberly at that event. Mm-hmm. That was it. And so you just were so welcoming and so sweet. And it's like, okay, so I can lean into this, and I can lean into Dana Grant, another person that phenomenal. I absolutely fell in love with. Azadeh, like, absolutely, yes. Just like all these women. I'm just Tiffany Rose. Like, I just absolutely fell in love with all of these women who are doing amazing things. Long story short, what I'm trying to get to is that what I learn, and this is what I want people to know about you and anyone else that they feel that same triggered by, is that we're all just women, and you guys were all, or y'all were, all women just pushing through, finding your resilience and doing the hard things, two steps, three steps, one step, whatever it was, ahead of me. So there's not this separation of better than, less than. It's just going before, right?
Yeah.
You just said yes before I had a chance to, or you said yes to something where I chose to say no.
But the most beautiful part of this entire story, like when you, if you truly want to put a bow around it, was the energy and light you gave me without maybe even knowing it, but you came and sat next to me like right before I spoke, and several other occasions that we talked about that, and just reminded mm-hmm. me just to let my inner light shine. And in a moment where, you know, I usually consider myself self-confident and all this sort of stuff, I was like feeling like, oh my goodness, there's Ben Newman in the room, and there's John Gordon, and there's Amberly Largo. And then there's this beautiful human who I'd met literally minutes prior, you know, in the grand scheme of life. And it was you who continued to allow me to shine and reminded me it was so much less about the words and so much more about the light and what I was going to portray out there. And so it was so beautiful. So behind, in front, next to, on top, like, doesn't matter. It was just, it was so touching to me. And when you walk out of a conference like that, and there's women like yourself who become so indelible in your memory, you have to remember that you were such a gift to me. So it comes full circle.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
And
that was me looking at you and your nerves, because I saw your legs like moving, and I'm like, I am just gonna, like, this is how I want to love her back and remind. I did consciously, like, I'm gonna remind her that you know, it is about the message and just being there for you. And I was so proud, like, you did such a great job. And anyone in that room or watching this or seeing your videos or seeing you on, it is a like equal to all of those.
Yes.
Me and Ben and John, like, you absolutely earned your spot, earned your moment on that stage, because everything you shared was so valuable. And so it was about the message. It's always about the message.
It always is about the message. And reminding exactly, I think, what you just said, and I hope that anyone listening to it really got this message. It's about stepping in those rooms. It's about doing the audacious, scary things. And imagine if Karen had decided not to come. I wouldn't be on this podcast. We wouldn't have had that moment with each other. We wouldn't have started to build this beautiful friendship. And it's because Karen dared to come. She dared to be audacious. She dared to show up and act as her authentic self in such a beautiful way. And so I'm just reminding anyone that's listening, it's always tough to walk into that room and be that person and this, that, the other, but like, what's the consequences if you don't, right? Because do you want to stay in the same place that you are a year from now, or do you want to be in bigger rooms? Or, and when I say that, I don't even mean more people, I'm just saying like expanding yourself,
right?
And if you walk into a room and you don't feel any of that energy, you're in the wrong room. You have to go find a new one. Mm-hmm. And I think some of us just stay comfortable and stay in that space. And I've done it plenty of times. I could name countless times where I've stayed in a room that I don't belong in. And I don't even mean a physical room. I just mean with a group of friends or a networking group that just wasn't allowing me to grow. And when I walked out of that room, I was like, wow. I was like, there's a lot of people doing a lot of bigger, better, more audacious things than I am.
Oh my
gosh, I need more rooms like this.
Yes, I think that was such a big takeaway is when just in my personal development, because I am a personal development junkie. I love to go to conferences and masterminds and all the things. I love it. I can do it 24/7. But when you're in a room and you feel like if it's not your event, but you're the one that's adding the most value, and you're not getting that back, it is the wrong room for you if you're looking to grow. So when you walk in the room and you're just like, whoa, like everybody is so expansive and so next level, like their development is a level ahead of me, like, and you feel small, those are the best rooms.
Right. You know? And think about it. You always hear the old adage say, right? Like buy the smallest house in the biggest development. Right? Because if you buy the biggest house, like there's nowhere else to go and to expand. Yeah. And I know that's normally from an economic standpoint, but it just is a good analogy to what you should be doing, right? Like stand next to those bigger houses. You'll grow, right? You'll add the addition, you know what I mean? Put the pool in, whatever. Like, but if you allow yourself to feel like, oh, well, I'm always the biggest and the baddest, how are you ever going to raise your bar?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for that reflection and mirroring that back to me, because it was such a beautiful weekend and I am so grateful to have met you and to have Amberly connect us and recommend you all, you know, for the podcast. And I'm like, of course Erica's going to be on it. Like, that's a no-brainer. Done. That was decided before we ever left the event, but it was a great reminder. So thank you, Amberly, once again.
Yes. We love you, Amberly.
She does the best. Connections, and she taught me so much. She came to my event after her event, and I got to tell her this from the stage, and I was just so honored to have her open up our event. She was our opening keynote, and I told her, I said, you know, I learned how to elevate my event by watching how you lead. You know, I came back from her Unstoppable event. And I was like, okay, I am changing this, and this, because watching how she interacted and how I felt being in the room just changed how I wanted my women to experience our
family. Absolutely. Absolutely. She has such a superpower that way and really makes everyone feel so not only feel seen, but really truly seen. And that's the part that I loved about her event too. Like you didn't feel like it was just, you know, you were just another number in that room. You really felt like everyone had their unique reason for being there.
Yeah, absolutely. And she has a gift of when she's speaking to you, you feel like you have her full attention. And she is like, you're the only one that matters in that moment. You know that there's 15,000 people waiting for her, or, you know, 120, whatever it is. Sorry, my nose is running. But she just has this gift of connecting with that person and making them feel so very special.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that it's so was sweet. Just so beautiful.
Yes.
So.
And I think it's something we can all work on, you know, like just being more intentional with those relationships, right?
And being fully present.
Yes. So much easier said than done. Right. Because even so Amberly Largo, who's from Phenomenal, she still gets distracted too. Right. Like it's human nature.
Right.
So it really becomes just like anything else, just like gratitude, just like writing your goals down. It really becomes a practice.
Yeah. So even in your next evolution, because you're doing all kind of things and you're constantly evolving. And in addition to your speaking, you also do training and you have your health and fitness or wellness. Tell me, what do you feel like is the thing that is on your heart to share most today about who Erica Rothenberger is.
Well, I always say that Erica Rothenberger, you know, 1.0 was, you know, to have the corner office and, you know, be on the top floor and, you know, what I saw, you know, 15 years ago. And then 2.0 is I really couldn't wait to be the best mom and was introduced to this concept of entrepreneurship and to be able to show my kids to like go after goals and dreams. Mm. And now I really feel like, you know, my kids are at this beautiful ages of 7 and 10, but they're becoming more independent. Is it's time to like rip open 3.0. And I'll probably get to like 20.0 by the time I'm like a little old lady, but right now it's really next leveling my speaking and being able to make a massive impact and, you know, a ripple across stages across the United States to be able to help people become more resilient through Audacity, about making more meaningful and in you know, intentional networking, connections with people. And also right now, one of my newest keynotes is actually the audacity to have it all. And I actually wrote it during COVID, and it wasn't landing then in my mind because everyone wanted to give up everything at that point. Right.
Yeah.
And I think we're finally back at that stage where people are like, okay, listen, I do want it all. And when I say want it all, it doesn't mean you bake the brownies and you run the marathon and you write the book. It means what's all for you. And all for you could be a phenomenal stay-at-home mom. All for someone else could be being a phenomenal significant other. You know, like all could be climbing the corporate ladder and getting to that pinnacle. Doesn't matter what your all is, but finding what that is, and then being able to go after it and not being afraid to declare it. Because I think sometimes we, especially as women, we play so small and we're not willing to just have the audacity to say, you know what, I do want this, this, and this. And to just really be laser focused, just to the point I made before, you know, your three pillars, right? Taking your three minutes of gratitude every day, making sure you're working towards your three goals every day, and taking 30 minutes to protect your soul and fill your pocket. And I really love to be able to empower transformational thinking on stages by sharing that.
I love it. And I can totally see that that is exactly who you are in this 3.0 version of you with the three pillars, the Erica 3.0 with your three pillars. Like how perfect is that?
Yeah.
And what I want people to come away from this with is that everything has a season and a purpose, and there's a timing to that purpose. So if they are struggling to feel that connection to their purpose, how do you feel like you found yours, or did it find you?
I think it goes both ways. I think, you know, it's just like anything, right? I think when you look or try to white knuckle anything too much, it's never going to just come to you. But I also really believe in intentionally going after what you want. But trying to find that, I don't believe in any perfect balance, but trying to find yourself in flow. And for many of us, and probably many people that are listening, we're type A, we're like, we got to be in action. We got to be moving all the time to feel like we're accomplishing. And sometimes it's actually going back to that power of the pause to say, okay, what's my heart really telling me? Right. What am I taking enough time to just be by myself and say, this is my alignment. This is where I want to be. And I truly believe it is an evolution. Right? What I wanted 5 years ago is very different than what I want now. And I believe 5 months from now, it will evolve even more. And I think the more you work on it, again, going back to those three pillars, if you're working on it a little bit every day, you're really going to start to figure that out. Right.
Right.
You know, it's like kind of like making a puzzle. You know, you put those first couple pieces together, you have no idea what that picture is going to look like.
Right.
But if you add a piece or two every day, the vision becomes clearer and clearer to you. And sometimes it may be like, hey, listen, I have to recreate something else, or I'm going to go work on a new puzzle, and that's okay too. Right.
Right.
So
sometimes we have the box, right? We have the picture to go by, And it's right there in front of us and we're not even using it. We're not even seeing it. We're not even recognizing it. And then one day something happens or something, someone brings it to your attention and you're like, oh yeah, that's exactly who I am. That's exactly what I want to do. That's exactly what I needed to fit all these puzzle pieces together. Now I know what that goal is, that end goal of my purpose.
Yeah. And I also think too, is like making sure, you know, I know most of us, we love validation. We love to call the girlfriend. We love to call our board of directors. I truly believe that everyone should have 10 people on their board because you always need 5 really strong board members and then 5 of them that are like right behind there or fill in the gaps between the other 5 is, but I also think you really like, you can't just get that validation from the outward source. Mm-hmm. Like you got to, you know, really take as much time, if not more, to let yourself be the loudest voice, because you're going to hear a lot of different opinions. I mean, we could go talk to our 10 board of directors right now and get 10 different opinions.
Absolutely. It does come from that internal permission to just trust.
Yeah. Easier said than done too. Mm-hmm. And again, I really believe that just continues to come from practice, from just, you know, sometimes making the wrong decision. And being okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Failing forward.
I have this ongoing joke between me and my husband. When I married into his family, his grandmother, who was, I think she was 89, 90 at the time, sassy. She looked like Santa Claus's wife. Absolutely. One of the boldest, strongest, most amazing women I've ever met. Absolutely a love and mentor of my life. I love and adore her. She passed away in 2020. But at the time, she was getting to know me and we had just moved to West Texas to where she lived to help out with some things. And she asked me one day, she said, Karen, how did you get so smart? It was just such a sweet compliment because she's brilliant. And I said, you know what? We call her Gigi. Her name is Gloria, but she was Gigi. I said, you know what, Gigi? I've done everything wrong at least once. And she thought that was like the funniest response with the most truth to it ever. Because the truth is I've been married 3 times before her son, her grandson. So he was my 4th husband. I have 4 children. I have this really crazy bruised up past. And there's so much truth in that. I have been so bullheaded all my life. And people would tell me, don't do this or do that. And I'm like, okay, I have to figure it out myself.
Yeah.
And I would do it. And it's like, oh yeah, that is wrong. So yeah. I would try it at least once.
And you learn the best lessons that way.
And those lessons stick, right? So
yes, they do.
Now I tell my kids, you're going to make your own mistakes. Just don't make mine. You know, here's this. Here's your guideline. Here's your kind of boundaries. Go make your mistakes inside these boundaries.
Yes. Yes.
So, but there's so much power in knowing yourself, trusting yourself, loving and accepting yourself, and then giving yourself grace to figure all that out.
100%. And again, this is not a formula. It's not a, you know, theorem, you know, where A squared plus B squared is C squared. It's different for all of us, right? And everyone's level of grace or level of resilience or level of audacity is going to look a little different. But it's truly an evolution. They have to start somewhere.
Yeah. So how would you define audacity? So when you say that word, what does that mean to you?
I love that question. So sometimes audacious can have a little bit of a negative connotation. Like you're like, oh, well, she's being really audacious, right? And sometimes people can look at that as like almost being like having being dismissive to everyone else.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's aggressive, right? But I truly believe if you want to go after your goals and you want to go after your dreams, I look at audacity as being bold and being brave and being so confident in yourself, again, going back there, that you're willing to do those things where like the grain of the sandpaper is kind of rough and it's okay because anyone who has made any sort of, you know, massive success has had to do that, had to do things that don't necessarily feel right. And it goes kind of back to my comment before, like, stop listening to the validation of everyone else. Like, be willing to be who you are. Mm-hmm. Because that's truly what's going to get you to that epiphany. And again, I'm not saying that you don't ever have to self correct, or when you talk to your, you know, your therapist, right, that you need to, like, you know, put some mirrors in front of you or do a 360 to, you know, adapt or change a little bit. But at the end of the day, if you have to have the boldness and the braveness to go after your dreams and your goals in your life, and without having, without being audacious by playing small, you're never going to be able to truly get there. And again, everyone's definition of playing big or playing small is different. So my definition is very different than yours, but it needs to be your definition of being bold and being brave.
Yeah. I love that. Because to someone that's struggling with just getting out of the house, right? Mm-hmm. After COVID and all that, it could just be taking a trip to the grocery store. That's big and bold.
Yeah. A to walk around else, your neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. To someone else, it could be, you know, getting on stage with, like, Amberly Lago and Ben Newman and, you know, John Gordon. Like, that could be, you know, that same.
Right.
And two different people, two different audacity levels. But what I heard in that you said was audacity to you is operating with big, bold, brave belief. And
you summed it up perfectly.
I just, when you were saying that, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, you and your pillars, like your threes. So it could be bold, brave, belief, or whatever. But it's just identifying what bold and brave means to you and then believing it, regardless of what the other proof is around you, right? Sometimes we look for proof. I do, oftentimes. But that doesn't take faith. When it's there and you can see it, you don't have to have faith to believe it's true. You can see it. But it's when you operate out of that point of faith, believing that it can be whether you see it or not, that's where the bravery and the boldness and the, you know, audacity comes in. And I love that so much.
And think about any, like, larger than life, you know, person, right? Like, right, when you think of, you know, just any, like, you know, who you consider like a celebrity or any large company, you know, you think of the Apples or the Netflix, or, you know, where are the companies that decided to be bold and go out there and really take their business to another stratosphere, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have other companies that you look at, like Radio Shack or Blockbuster, who weren't, and they just stayed really comfortable. And guess what? They went out of business. Right. So again, it goes kind of back to that light. Like, you know, if you really want to be bright and be out there and do your thing and make it happen, you got to be willing to kind of go against the grain sometimes, and make some moves that could be the right moves or the wrong moves, but at least make the moves, because to me, it's going to make that next move a little less scary, right?
You get, and it's always moving you forward towards whatever that end goal is. And sometimes that end goal requires those lessons that are the same moments.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Okay. So final question for me, and then would love for you to just share anything that you want our listeners to hear. But what is one resource, one thing, one tip, trick, hack that is making a difference in your life that makes your life easier, that helps you stay or get in that flow? And you can't say working out because you've already shared that. So
I know. I'm trying, like, you know, I'm trying to go back. You know, I've been really conscious. And it was something that I really put on the back burner because I felt, and this is like almost scary to say out loud because I don't know if I've ever said this out loud, like, I stopped reading for a while. Like, I was like, oh, I don't have time to read. Right? I don't have time. Like, that's a waste. Like, I could be using that other half an hour to be, like, productive doing something. And I think going back and really getting back into books and reading, and again, that emotional deposit. Mm-hmm. When I read a book and I'm emotionally putting whatever I'm reading back into me. It's not selfish at all. It's actually like so needed. Yeah. And I think sometimes it's one of those things that we don't make a priority to do. Right. You know, I have a couple friends that are voracious readers and, you know, I always admire them. They're like, oh, I finished 3 books this weekend. I'm like, I haven't finished 3 books this month, but I really
finished 3 books this year. I've started them and not finished them. I start them, right? And if they're like, good, I buy the Audible.
Yeah. Well, and I don't care if it's an Audible or whatever it is, but taking that time to invest in yourself, right? Like, yeah. You don't have to go hire, you know, a $10,000 coach. You don't have to be part of a massive mastermind if that's not in your budget right now. You can start doing that indirectly with an Audible, with a book, right. With, you know what I mean? And really, yeah. Really investing in yourself. And I know that seems so simple, but it's so true. It's so, 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 so true. And I also believe in the power of sunlight. Right? I really do. I just believe, you know, just sometimes just feeling that vitamin D and fueling yourself that way, it's a free thing, right? Yeah. I mean, I know some areas get more sunlight than others, but just really allowing yourself to be present in like in nature that way.
I love it. Yeah. I have had moments where I was either super down, like really struggling with overwhelm and borderline depression.
Yeah.
And I would go outside and put my feet in the grass and just stand in the sun.
Yeah.
And that 5 minutes or whatever was a reset button, literally.
It's so true. And again, none of these, Karen and I aren't giving you anything where you gotta, you know, go run a marathon and read 7 books and do this. It's just the little bit. And I think it goes back to the consistency.
Yeah. Yeah. They say that, you know, to start your circadian rhythm, you should do that first thing in the morning is get your face in the sun.
Yes.
And there's something so powerful about that. I've tried that. I love doing it. I wish I could get myself to be more consistent with that, because I feel like that would be so beneficial, because the moments I've done that just absolutely start your day different.
Right. Right. And I think also, you know, just, and, you know, regardless of, you know, beliefs or whatever, you know, I believe in a God, and just being willing to like, talk to that higher power, you know what I mean? And find that. And I find that happening a lot when I am outside and I feel that sun and like, you know what I mean? Just knowing there's something else guiding you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So what book are you mentioned reading. So what book are you reading right now?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's actually funny. Someone actually just gave me this book today, The Paradox of Having Your Shit Together, which is really funny. I actually met the author today and he brought this as a present.
Who is the author? Who is it written by?
Matthew Mizimir.
Okay.
But I will tell you that it was so random that he just came and like showed it to me and gave it to me today. So it's actually going to be next on my list. I actually just finished reading a book on resilience by Harvard Business Review last weekend. And I'm actually reading a book on money manifestation right now. Because I believe, listen, you know, what you read about grows. And so, you know, many times I have 2 or 3 books going at one time.
I love it. Yeah.
And I have the book ready for vacation. What got you here won't get you there. And that's one that I'm actually bringing with me on vacation.
I love it. So, I have been reading and then listening to a book, Jamie Kern Lima. Dana's doing a book club on Worthy.
Yes.
And I love that book. I've actually read parts of it over and again. And then I listened to the whole thing on Audible. My daughter lives 3 hours, just a little over 3 hours away. So in my travels to go see my new grandbaby, I got to listen to that book, and it's been a great partner because she does the narration in it. So you get to hear her voice. And I love when the authors do their own narration.
Me too.
Because they add extra things and you get to hear their inflection, yeah. Really meant. So it's great. Mel Robbins does another, she does her books, and she's another great one. And of course, Brene Brown, three of my favorites that do their own, and so good, so good. But thank you for sharing those books. I love them. And for anybody else listening, Worthy is another great read. And
it's on my list.
It is so good. So good.
Yes.
I actually tend to find books, and then it's like the universe brings me people that need them, and I end up giving them away before I finish them or after I've read them. So I have books, and then like I've loaned them, or I now I don't even think about loaning. I'm just like, it's yours. I know you're not going to give it back. I'm going to forget you have it. So it's all good. It's not a library. Perfect. You have to check it out. Be blessed.
And I also want to remind people, like, your book doesn't have to always be a novel book. Like, I have four books mm-hmm. that I wake up to every morning. If you follow me on Instagram, you see them in my stories almost every single day. I don't travel with all four books. But, you know, I have two spiritual books and two motivational books. And one of my favorite one is A Year of Positive Thinking. And every mm-hmm. day it's a new paragraph on just positive thinking. And it's just a different way to look at positive thinking. So I want to remind you that if you're not the type that's going to go read a novel or listen to an audiobook, it doesn't have to be right. what we traditionally look like as a book. It could be just something that you put into practice. So every morning I spend about 5 minutes going through those books, reflecting on them, reading them, highlighting them. So again, you'll see those in my stories pretty much every day. And why do I post in my stories? Well, I post them just as much to share that message with other people who are looking at my stories, but I also share them to hold myself accountable, to say, you know what, this is something that I need to fuel myself every day. When I post them, I know it's almost like a check of the box that I did the work.
Yeah. You're so good about your stories. I love them. So again, find her over on Instagram is where she hangs out mostly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and it's Erica with a K when you go to find her. But all the links will be in the show notes. Any final words that you want to leave our listeners with? Any words of wisdom or anything that has just come up through this conversation?
Yeah, I think the other thing is we're living in a world right now and that can be dark. And we have to remember there are a lot of people that, you know, need our light and need us to lift them as we're rising. And it not only helps us, but when we serve others, it's a remarkable about the doors that will open for you. Absolutely. So who can you serve? Who can you lift? Who needs their light brightened? And how are you going to commit to be that person? You know, one of like my favorite things every day is to leave everyone that I'm friends with on Facebook message that it comes up their birthdays is a 15-second birthday message. And I start my day every day on the way to the gym. And that's what I'm doing on the way to the gym. And sometimes it's 5 people and other times it's 15 people, depending on how many people have birthdays that day. And it fuels me. And the messages I get back, like, you were the first one at 4:45 to leave me a message, or you just made my day, or we haven't connected in forever. And it maybe takes me, you know, less than 5 minutes to do. And the impact that people are getting. Some people are barely getting an HBD text from, you know, their significant other. So when you leave them a personal voice note and lift other people in your day, find a ritual that allows you to do that. And mine is birthday messages.
I love that. So each week I have the goal of reaching out to 10 women and just saying something uplifting and encouraging. So, you know, like, I see you showing up. I see you're showing up more. I saw you speak, whatever it is, right? Just you're killing it. You're doing great. Love the new profile pic, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Women that I don't know, no pitch. Like, these are, we're Facebook friends, but I don't know them.
Of course.
Or they're LinkedIn friends. So we're connected, but I don't know them. And there's like, the rules are no pitch, no ask. No, like sharing, it's literally just a support comment.
Love
and
that.
It's because someone did that to me one time and I asked them why. And they said that they had an opportunity to do that one time to a friend, to like they were, it was on their heart and they didn't do it. And that friend committed suicide. And so they made a commitment to do that for people they didn't know and to always be led by who do I need to bless today? And then just let that derive. And so they made a commitment, not just like back to back to back to back, but through the week they would pick. And it was just like, yep, I need this one. And it just be led, let God lead you to who needs that word throughout the week. And sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 5. My goal is to try to do 10 to be really intentional. So I'm driving towards that. It could be 20 some weeks. I don't even know. Yeah. I don't even count other than I know.
I do that a lot too. Like there'll be days, and it's usually the days where I'm not feeling great. Mm-hmm. As hard as it is to muster out that first message, you do 5 of those and your vibration changes significantly. Like your entire trajectory. And I think when it comes full circle, and not that I ever do it with the intent of, oh, what's the message going to be back? But when you do it with intent, and someone does give you that message back and you know that you changed their day, I don't care what contract gets signed, what dollars are in your bank account. There's nothing that can fulfill you and make you feel like you really lifted someone else.
Yeah.
So go lift, go rise, and spread gratitude, affirmation, compliments like it's confetti. Yeah. Right? Just love spread it.
Because the world needs more of that.
Amen.
The world needs more Erica confetti in the world. So
let's go. And rubber duckies.
And spread rubber duckies. Kindness. Rubber duckies. Spread it like butter. Butter on a Texas Roadhouse roll.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So, okay, sweet. I have loved this. Thank you so much for being on here, for amazing. All that you're doing, and for being in my world. I am so blessed.
I'm so blessed. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be part of this Rock Movers movement with you. So thank you for all you're
doing. Moving huge rocks. And this is just our message to you, that just keep moving rocks, one rock, one day at a time. Just know that you don't have to do it by yourself. We're here for you. Mm.
Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. If you did, I am so grateful. And just for showing up, I want to say thank you. This is my offer to give back, and it's just so impactful to me to see that it's making an impact on you. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. You can get through it within about an hour, maybe a little bit more if you dive in deeper, but it's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.